in today's broadcast. Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. In the name of Allah, salam, and welcome to a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, which is concerned about importance of unity in Islam.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio on Friday, 19th of Rabiul Awal, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Shahrivar, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book and we bless this moment by listening of chapter and fall, verse 63. We come back to the studio and we learn about this verse more.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa alafa bayna qulubihim. Law anfaqta ma fil ardi jami'an ma alafta bayna qulubihim walakinna Allah alafa baynahum innahu azizun hakim.
And brought together their hearts. If you had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, is the Prophet of Islam, strove against social prejudices. According to the Prophet of Islam, trampling the rights of others described peace and security, resulting in hatred and discord. Even in the statements of his last days, the Prophet warned the Ummah against discord, saying, O people, your blood and properties are forbidden for each other. Beware that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, and Muslims are brethren to each other.
Ya Imam al-Anbiya'i, Anta fil wujdani hayyun, Anta lil-aynayni dayyun, Anta inda al-hawbiriyun, Anta hadin wa safiyun, Ya Habibi, Ya Muhammad, Ya Nabi, Salam alayka, Ya Rasul, سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
When we focus on the importance of unity in Islam, we find that Prophet Muhammad was sent by Allah with the universal message of Islam as the messenger of mercy, whose mission was foretold by all previous prophets over the different parts of the world. He preached brotherhood of humanity, Although born in Arabia, he never said the Arabs had any preference over the non-Arabs. Among his companions were Salman, the Persian, Suhaib, the Roman, and Bilal, the Black Abyssinian. Once on the commandment of Allah, he conducted peace of brotherhood among his companions, selecting a pair of those who were friends of each other. After pairing some 740 companions, the Prophet then held the hand of Imam Ali and declared him his brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about the Holy Prophet of Islam's efforts towards Islamic unity or Muslim Ummah unity. The life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his household, is not only a source of spiritual inspiration for billions of Muslims worldwide, but also a profound lesson in leadership, unity, and the quest for eradicating divisions among his followers. Throughout his prophetic mission, the Holy Prophet ﷺ worked tirelessly to unite the diverse tribes and communities of Arabia under the banner of Islam, emphasizing the importance of unity among Muslims. Before the advent of Islam, Arabian Peninsula was a land marked by tribalism, constant warfare, and deep-seated divisions. Various tribal factions competed for power and resources, often resorting to violence to settle disputes. This atmosphere of chaos and discord made unity seem like an unattainable dream. So what was the message of Islam then? In the midst of this turbulent environment, the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, received the divine revelation of Islam. The message of Islam called for monotheism, social justice, and equality among all believers, regardless of their tribal or social backgrounds. It was a message of unity in faith and purpose.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special, which introduces one way we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity. So be with it. Making dua for unity. Ask our Imam to emphasize unity as an Islamic duty in his khutbahs and suggest practical ways it can be achieved in your country and Islamic organizations. Also suggest to Muslims to make a special dua for Muslim unity. When the Hajis return from the pilgrimage, the Prophet has encouraged us to go forward for receive them, and when we receive them, to request them for dua as well. This is another opportunity to seek duas for Muslim unity. And finally, make sure that you as an individual are not only working for unity, but making dua for it as well, since results are all in Allah's hands.
حبيبي جد الحسن رسولي معدن الجود إمام الحرام
نبينا خير من يمشي على قدمي يا عاشق صلوا على سيد الكون سيد الكون صلى الله عليه وآله يا نبي.
Unity teaches us to be selfless. None of you will have faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Quite beautiful. This narration includes both Muslims and non-Muslims in relation to maintaining brotherhood. Our Prophet is directing us about how a believer should invite a non-believer to Islam, just how he loves Islam for himself. For this reason, it is recommended to supplicate for the disbeliever to be guided. The meaning of love here is an intention for good and benefit, and this meaning is religious love, not human love. This type of love is therefore quite unique, just like how you may invite a friend to your home due to wanting their presence and to host them to the best of your abilities. Inviting them to Islam with the same mentality is an example of exposing love to someone due to wanting good for them. This is the essence of unity, bringing together people from all walks of life and making them bond through love and respect.
Sheikh Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, actually, we are going to talk about the role of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the 14 infallibles, I mean the A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam, in establishing wahda and unity among Muslim ummah. Wahda and unity was important for the Imams, but at the same time they were spreading the true teachings of Islam. They were teaching Muslims the true message of Islam. They were trying to their best to convey, to deliver the true teachings and doctrines of Islam to the Muslim Ummah, but at the same time they tried to preserve the unity among Muslims. So preserving unity does not mean to forget about the true teachings of Islam, to, for example, forget about the true doctrines of Islam. No, it doesn't mean that. For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, this imma taught a lot the Muslim imma, the true teachings of Islam. But at the same time, they were trying their best to preserve the unity among Muslims. So sometimes we might misunderstand the unity, that if you want to preserve unity, we should forget about the true teachings and doctrines of Islam. No, it doesn't mean that. We can keep united. You can be a united ummah, but at the same time, we must be in search of true teachings and doctrines of Islam. This is what we should understand from the life of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the lives of the infallibles. That unity among Muslim ummah was one of their main objectives and purposes of their lives, of Islam, of the Quran. So that's why we must be very much cautious and aware about this important objective and purpose of our religion, Islam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
صلوا عليه شافي الأمة في ذكر الرسول تشحذ الهمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة يا ربي بجاه النبي أزح الغمة.
Nice topic, nice discussion. So inshallah we continue this topic. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to, but our time is up now. Just one sentence, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta an-nabiyul amin.
patient and longing to meet my beloved. My steps quicken, my heartbeat tracing. I long to touch each inch as I pass, hoping to absorb his light into my heart. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, standing humbly at your green dome. I'm full of sins, I'm full of shame. I feel adorned by your beauty, giving my tears in plea, forgive me. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. To the ground, all is gone. Now I feel at peace. No sound amongst these millions, only I can hear my heart beat. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Bags are packed, yet I can't leave. I yearn the streets of my Rasul, he is my love, please let me be. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brother, dear sister, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today we reflect on a saying from the heart of Karbala, from the master of martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Whoever sheds a single tear for us, Allah the Exalted will grant them paradise. How can a single drop of grief carry the weight of paradise? Let's explore the soul behind the tear. This isn't just any tear. This is a tear born of love, of loyalty, of connection to truth and pain. A tear shed over the suffering of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in general. It could be from remembering the thirst of the children in Karbala, the courage of Lady Zainab salam Allah alayhi, the last stand of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. It could be from realizing the depth of oppression they endured and the purity with which they bore it. Such a tear is not water. It is testimony. It says, I was not there, but my heart still bleeds. I wish I was there with you and I could shed my blood for you. Modern science confirms tears shed for emotional reasons, especially compassion or grief, trigger a chemical release of stress relief hormones like oxytocin and other hormones or substances. That's why people often feel lighter or calmer after crying. But this isn't just biology. In Islamic spirituality, crying for the Ahlul Bayt, for divine purposes, for divine kind of stuff, is an act of love. And love for them is a sign of faith. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, our Shia are those whose hearts burn when we are mentioned. Tears are how the soul speaks when words fail. A child hears the story of Ali Akbar alayhi salam and cries, not because he fully understands martyrdom, but because his fitra, his pure nature, reacts to injustice. And he loves the beauty of the character of Ali Akbar, about whom Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, I'm sending to the battlefield the one who is, who resembles the Holy Prophet the most. Or a grandmother whispers Ya Hussein and tears fall. She's remembered her son who died young and how Karbala gave her patience. A young woman distant from religion hears Zainab's sermon in the court of Yazid and a tear escapes. That tear becomes a turning point. So even if you've strayed, even if your heart feels hard, one sincere tear for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is enough to reconnect, inshallah. So this tear is our allegiance, our loyalty to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And that would mean a lot. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
There are scholars who delve into the complexities of geopolitics and international relations, examining the forces that shape global dynamics. Their work often bridges theoretical frameworks and practical implications, bringing insights into the interplay of security, economics, and diplomacy. Among them are those who focus on Eurasian integration and the evolving role of conservatism in global politics. My guest today exemplifies this dedication, contributing to academic discourse and shaping perspectives on international affairs. I am Bahman Nouray, your host. Welcome to SOAP.
Glenn Deason is a Norwegian political scientist and author born in 1979. He specializes in international relations, geopolitics, geoeconomics, and Russian foreign policy. His academic work often explores the interplay between security institutions, conservatism, and Eurasian integration. Deason has also contributed to journals like Russia in Global Affairs and authored several books on geopolitics and international relations.
Mr. Glenn Deason, it's a pleasure to have you here on SOAP.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
How do you think events like SOAP Festival can play a role in bringing countries closer?
Well, I think with us, with art and film, I think it can encapsulate a mindset and an idea.
Yeah.
Which can also create some understanding for the position. So, again, I thought that this film festival, they focused a lot on the suffering of the Palestinians. And, again, if, as you know, there's a lot of human beings that divides us, part of competing, not necessarily competing, but different groups. We have different customs, traditions, beliefs, a lot of things that can divide. But some things, we have in common, like thousands of children dying. We should all be able to find
focus
consensus.
That, yes.
This is some principles we should try to elevate above, this tribal politics. So, and I think a lot of this came out well in the movies. That is, of all, despite all the divisions, that some common humanity has to be at the foundation. Otherwise, there's no hope for peace in the world.
Yeah, and of course. You mentioned children in Gaza and Palestine. Why do you think this cannot become the common ground that everybody needs in order to force a peace in that region?
Well, this is the problem of often with human rights. So when we began to focus more on that human rights should have a key element in international security. The idea was that it should limit how we can use military force.
Right.
Some things you can't do. You can't, do genocide, for example. So we recognize this. However, power tends to corrupt everything. And I think over the past decades now, you've seen, especially since the 90s, often you see human rights being used to instead legitimize the use of force, which is why all these humanitarian interventions, If you can point to something, then you can use military force. So I think there's a lot of skepticism coming up. But in the issue of Gaza, I think it's, well, it's very clearly it's tied to Israel. It's if you're sympathetic to the deaths of these young children, that then it's considered to be a criticism of Israel. And the United States do not criticize Israel, and the Europeans do what America tells them to. So I think this is the key, the key problem.
And the price of criticizing Israel and its intentions in Gaza is getting higher and higher in America and Europe. Why is that? Freedom of speech is affected.
Well, this is a cost of, I think, ignoring what's happening, because everyone sees what's happening. We can all see it on our phones, the horrific genocide playing out. And what we also then see is, ideally, you would have then the guns reflecting the sentiment that this is not right. You know, at some point, we have to, everything can't just be loyalty to political allies. It has to be some common humanity at the ground as well. When the public sees that the governments don't do this, that there's a lot of hypocrisy going around, they will start to oppose their governments. So you see the public drifting, even in America, more and more becoming much more sympathetic to the suffering of the Palestinians, yet the government doesn't move. Now, once it starts to become a split there, a gap, you will have it will be filled, that vacuum, with other political forces. You see the politicians becoming delegitimized. And so this can be quite harmful within Western countries as well. So what do you do? Well, either the government can start to reflect the concerns of its citizens of genocide, or they can start to censor it. That is, crack down on media, arrest people who protest. And, my concern is that I see more going the second option. That is, but how do you criminalize protesting genocide? And it's always the same. Everything has you have to flip the script. So you're saying, well, you know, they're terrorists. So, and then Israel is fighting terror, then Israel is the good guy. So it's always, it's narrative control. But here's the thing, it's very difficult to have narrative control when we can all see a genocide on our phones. I think it's a huge mistake, both from a humanitarian perspective, but also for, if we want political stability across the West, we can't look the other way when there's an actual genocide.
Right, exactly. And how do you think your journey has shaped your perspective on global politics?
My journey?
Yeah. Your academic journey from the beginning until now.
Oh, it's a great question. Well, initially, my main academic interest was in European security, our inability to create a common European security architecture after the Cold War, because we recreated the zero-sum dynamic of the Cold War, because we said it's going to be hegemonic Europe, so we're going to expand NATO. Then, of course, what's going to happen in the border area? I predicted very well in advance that we're going to have conflicts from Georgia, Ukraine, all this. Anyways, after this, in 2014, I began to shift focus, because it was quite evident that Europe had been broken again when NATO countries toppled the government in Ukraine. And I also saw that the Russians began to say that our dream the past 30 years since Gorbachev's time to create a common Europe, it's dead. They're never going to accept us in Europe. Even the 300 years since Peter the Great, this is also done. We should look east instead for partners who are more friendly, reliable, dynamic. And that's when they started to reorganize their economy to the east. And that's my interest. And that's what I've been doing for more than 10 years. I looked at Russia's Eurasian integration. And in this Eurasian path, its main and most important partner is China, because it has both the capabilities as well as the intention to create an alternative to the US-centric economic system. But China is much bigger economically than Russia. So if you only have one partner, it's very asymmetrical, and they will become junior. And they don't want to simply replace the West with China to be a subordinate actor. So for them, it's necessary to diversify their economic partnerships. So they look towards India, Iran, and the rest of this huge Eurasian continent. And indeed, what you see now is many other countries are doing the same, be it Turkey, Iran. Like, if you're Iran, you don't want to only integrate economically with China, because you almost be a colony. Nothing negative about the Chinese, that's just the asymmetrical relations.
Yeah,
if you also want to connect with India, you want to connect with Russia, ideally, what I hope is also connect closer with Europe, but that's why I want this tensions between the Europeans and Iranians to come to an end, because it's in mutual interest to be able to diversify if you want to act like an autonomous actor. So anyways, that's where I kind of ended up now, and I look more at the potential or the developments within Eurasia and how they're trying, as you said, BRICS, have we reached our potential? You know, perhaps, maybe not, but that's kind of the answers I want to have answered. Sorry, the questions I want to have answered.
Mr. Glenn Deason, it was a pleasure to have you on this show. As we approach the end of the interview, of course, in every show, our guest takes a few minutes and talks straight to our audience. They become your audience for now, so please feel free to share whatever you want with our audience.
On the topic we discussed?
No, whatever you want. Just a final say. Whatever you want with the audience here.
Well, I guess my main lessons from academia has been as I mentioned earlier, security isn't created by defeating your opponents. You enhance your security by accommodating their security concerns, mitigating security competition. And this is why I'm always very, very concerned about a very deep instinct in humanity, which is when we fear threats, external threats, that we pull into the group. We say we're the good guys, the other is the evil guy, and in such a situation, war actually becomes the only outcome. So my main advice is always the same. Don't hate your opponent. It goes often against human nature, but you should try to recognize their concerns find some commonality if you want actual peace. So this is my great hope. This is also what I think the Eurasian project is about, that is to have this huge Eurasian continent instead of being divided, that the Chinese learn to live with the Russians, Russians learn to live with the Iranians, Iranians learn to live with the Saudis, and hopefully Europe will also learn to live with the rest of Eurasia. So this is my main hope for the future, if you will.
Thank you so much, Mr. Glenn Deason. It was a pleasure to have you here on SOAP.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Bahman Urai.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad that I have brothers Hassan, Hussein, Ma'asum, and Ali Nasir with me today in this session. Everyone, welcome. Inshallah, Ayah 16 is going to be our main lesson today. We will practice this Ayah, we'll talk about it. Ayah 16, Surah Al-Ra'd, on page 251. 1. The ayah starts this way. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ قُلْ أَفَاتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ
Say, who is Lord of the heavens and earth? Say, Allah. Say, have you then taken besides him allies, not possessing even for themselves any benefit or any harm? Say, is the blind equivalent to the seeing, or is darkness equivalent to light? Or have they attributed to Allah partners who created like his creation, so that the creation of each seemed similar to them? Say, Allah is the creator of all things, and he is the one, the prevailing.
MashaAllah. Nice recitation. May Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, as you're listening to IRB English Radio, turn to page 251, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 16. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's see what Allah Almighty says here. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ Allah Almighty says that, O Prophet, tell them, who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? Say, قُلِ اللَّهِ Allah. Say, Allah. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ Say, have you then taken others beside Allah Almighty for guardians? لَا يَمْلِكُونَ The ones that لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ نَفْعَوْ وَلَا طَرَّ The ones that have no control over their own benefit or harm. قُلْ Say to them, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ Are the blind one and the seer one equal? أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ Or are the darkness and the light, are they equal? أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ Have they set up for Allah partners who have created like his creation so that the creations seemed confusable to them? Say, قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Say, Allah is the creator of all things. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ And he is the one, the all paramount. So guys, this ayah is very beautiful. It talks about the unity of Allah Almighty. It talks about the oneness of Allah Almighty. It talks about what? Tawheed against shirk. Right?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Allah Almighty compares a lot of beautiful things here. Listen, Allah Almighty wants the Prophet to tell the disbelievers, the pagans, the idol worshippers. Allah Almighty wants the Prophet to tell them that, hey, think a little bit. Come on, you have wisdom. Allah Almighty has given you wisdom. Make it work. Make it work. See, قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Who created the skies and the heavens? Did these idols do so? Huh?
No.
No, you yourself created these idols. It was not there. Yesterday you just made this statue here. Did this create the universe? No. Does the universe have a creator? Of course, there are billions and millions and unlimited reasons that can prove the existence of Allah Almighty, the existence of a creator. Okay? Yes or no?
Yes.
So Allah is the creator then. God is the creator. Then why do you worship these idols then? Guys, refer to the Tafasir books. There are beautiful, beautiful points. Remember, inshallah, learn them. Now we've got to practice the Tajweed points. I want Masoom to recite. Yes, Ali Nasir said, Masoom, come on. Masoom, recite it once for us, yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور أم جعلوا لله شركاء خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار
أحسنتم. Very beautiful. Mashallah. So some of the very important tajweed points I have to mention. Man, like Nun Sakin followed by the letter Ra. Man Rabbu. How do you say that?
Man Rabbu.
This is called the rule Idgham, right?
Yes.
And go down. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ حَمْزَةُ الْوَصْلِ is skipped. أَفَأَتَّخَذْتُمْ حَمْزَةُ الْوَصْلِ is skipped. أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ تُمْ ميم ساكن followed by ميم إدغام. Which kind of إدغام is it?
مثلين.
Yes, the two identical letters meet together. مِن دُونِهِ
إخفاء.
And Ali Nasir, مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Dunihi, the mud. Is it wajib?
No.
Jais, good. Jais. And awliya, is it wajib?
This is wajib.
Wajib. The reason is?
The mad letter.
The mad letter, which is alif.
Yeah, and the hamza.
Which is the reason for the mud?
Yeah, they're in the same.
In the same, in one word.
Yes.
Awliya. Okay, which means guardians. لا يملكون لأنفسهم same إخفاء نفعا ولا ضرا نفعا ونفعوا this is called إدغام you have to merge them ضرا if you stop here changes to ضرا it's pronounced ضرا قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور نون مشدد
Yes.
أم جعلوا لله شركاء ماذا واجب
yeah.
خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم قل الله خالق كل شيء the same as Ma'asum pronounced it you merge them وهو الواحد القهار at the end را is pronounced with a heavy sound تفخيم الرا so one question from Hassan, please tell us about that little jim on the word alayhim. There is a tiny jim there. And also tell us about that qila sign on the top of the word noor. Okay? And yes, that's it. We have three times jim is repeated there and one time qila. What does jim tell us?
Jim says it's... Jim actually allows us to make up.
Allows you to make up. Good job. It means... It tells you, hey, station. You can make a pause here.
Yes.
Qila?
Qila says it's better to make a pause.
Better to make a pause.
Yes.
So one up. Better to make a pause. It means you can
continue.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I will recite this ayah. It's a long ayah, but very good for recitation. Let's practice it. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله
قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله
قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا
قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا
قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور
قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور
أم جعلوا لله شركاء خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم
أم جعلوا لله شركاء خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم
قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار
قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Thank you so much Allah bless every one of you inshallah Stay with us till the end of these sessions Brothers and sisters, dear listeners Thank you so much for being with us in this session Hassan Hussein, Ali Nasser and Masoom See you in the next session If you have any questions
No,
no, no? Thank you so much for today's recitations See you That's it from us for today Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.